It's Inside Out, The Naked Truth, the 12th in our series of At Home with the Striders with Errol and my spouse, the Queen Rochelle Strider.
Well, welcome. Welcome to our home at Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider.
And I am, don't tell me.
Oh, well, if we have to tell you, Errol, we might as well stop the show right now.
Okay.
Who are you?
She's dead set that I'm going to say this publicly. All right. I'm Norkel Fingalwiggle.
Oh, God. And that's Errol Strider, the silliest man on planet.
That's
come
quite
on
an
in.
Achievement,
come
by
on
the way.
In. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, spiritual opinions, and as many surprises as possible. And since only our innocence can truly be surprised, please feel free to bring yours with you.
And our time with you tonight is sponsored by Go Raw, 100% raw food. Not only tastes so good and good for you, and I was so excited the owner of Go Raw was here just this weekend, and we walked along the trail and reconnected. His name is Rob. And it was so good to be with him, and I'm so appreciative, and we have such a great connection. Anyway, so for that, I'm grateful, and I'm grateful for that the man is as good as his word, is as good as his raw foods.
Yes, and raw food can be whole food. Whole Foods has raw food. Go Raw, and Trader Joe's does, and the organic section of Costco's does. But you can go to GoRaw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your specific neighborhood.
In your neighborhood.
And if you want to talk to us tonight, which we hope you would, I know some people are shy about that, but our number is 888-627-6008. I feel like someone who is starting off the circus tonight.
This is great. It's a circus, but I have to back
ladies
up.
Ladies and gentlemen, focus on the third ring here to see what's going on.
Focus on your third hemisphere, not the right or the left. Let's go to the third hemisphere.
Oh, God.
I need to say something about a word you use when you've introduced the show in the last few weeks that you decided to use, and I've just kind of listened to it every time you said it, and the two words are spiritual opinions. And I think that deserves some attention to talk about. I'm pretty sure I understand, you know, why you picked that. I mean, of all the things you could have said, you know, spiritual point of view or spiritual dogma or our spiritual perspective or spiritual opinions. And what does your brother-in-law say about opinions?
I'm not going to say it.
Okay, never mind. You can imagine. Let's just say that opinions come easily and naturally. But, and so I guess the bottom line is...
You don't think it's an opinion.
Oh, I didn't say that. No.
Oh, but you're just interested in why I chose that word.
Yeah.
I guess because when it comes down to it, we all have an opinion about this, you know, and it's sort of like you can't argue with someone's opinion in a way because it's like argue with their eyes. I just don't agree with blue eyes or I don't agree with brown eyes, you know. They're your eyes. Your opinions are your opinions. And I own it that way, you know, because the truth is we are too immature to have really only one truth.
Right. So we got opinions.
So we got opinions.
I got a fellow, a friend of mine, drives a taxi. He drives down to 4th Street area, down all the way to Central Park South. Anyway.
You wouldn't find Central Park South on 4th Street in New York City, mister. If you drive a cab, I'm going to get lost.
Well, I was not a good cab driver, to be honest with you.
No wonder.
I got lost in life. So I went into the philosophical perspective laying on of which unto reality business. And because when I looked in the newspapers, there were so many job opportunities for philosophers. And I was like, all right, I'll be a philosopher. You know, if they're paying a lot and there's all
job opportunities for philosophers.
Yeah, stay with me.
What planet were you on?
stay with me here. There was a whole page, you know, and the phone number, and one of them said philosophers needed, we need some good thoughts. Another one said, you know, philosophers wanted, you know, give us some wisdom. And another one was philosophers, meshuggahness, which is a Yiddish term meaning crazy people, are needing some philosophy. But indeed, it is our philosophy of life that we attempt to live by and practice based upon what I want to say assumptions rather than opinions. And they're related. I know they're like first cousins, but what's the difference between an assumption and an opinion?
I don't know. I have.
All right, if you know, that's a reason to call in. Okay, because we know if you're listening out there tonight, which is a silly thing to say, because if you're listening, you're listening. So to say, if you're listening, it's a complete, you know. Anyway, moving on. So our opinions. One of the opinions that I have about spirituality, the foundation of which is that there's this belief / sense, and sometimes, rarely, a deep knowing that's so all pervasive of my being that it literally leaves no room for doubt. But I don't have too many of those.
Well, I have them, and I understand that. And for me, it's, I don't doubt it. But the interesting thing about communing with other people on the planet is there's other people who have non-doubting ideas of have had these things, and they're different, and sometimes they're polar opposite.
Well, like we were reading this book about Richard the Lionheart and the Crusades, and they were going and fighting the infidels, who were the Saracens, and the Saracens thought
Muslims. They were Muslims too.
Thought these other guys were the infidels,
right?
And I just wonder, surely it had occurred to someone the irony and the paradox in this.
Well, that's about thinking. You see, that's just it. And what I'm so aware of is that if it moves me, my litmus test is, does it bring me into greater connection with myself, others, and the mystery? Greater connection. So it's like whatever it is I think, believe, or whatever. But so many people's thoughts and beliefs create separation. And then they'll refer to the Bible. Isn't there a passage in the Bible, I think, that I come to divide people or something with a sword, separate you? And
yes.
Right. And so they'll say, well, you see, this is what it's about. But my epiphany of reality.
But this is two steps above opinion. This is
epiphanies. This is epiphanies now. All right. My opinion of reality is that love that Jesus came to tell us about had to do with connection, not separation.
Well, speaking of Jesus, otherwise actually called Yeshua or possibly Yeshua, I have this poem that I've been playing with a little bit, and it's called Why Did He Come Anyway? And I might share just a couple lines of that, but let's kind of set the stage and see if we can start feeling the spirit. That's really what we want to do.
Feel the spirit moving in my heart.
this poem is based upon a perspective. Is it an opinion? Yeah, I guess, but I prefer to think of it as a perspective. And I have a perspective that there's this infinite infinity moving off and in every possible conceivable directions, and somehow out of this total totality, endlessness, pervasive, going every which way as fast and as creatively as it can, universe. And then along come these little dust breakoffs of these planetary symptoms, and sure enough, life starts, life as we know it. And then life evolves, and it kind of bungles along. I think we could say evolution is a kind of fairly bungling along, albeit I believe it has a direction. And at a certain point, it becomes helpful on a planetary's development to send a direct spokesbeing for that infinite creativity, because especially, well, this is what this poem about. Why did he come anyway? I'll read just a couple lines just to see what it brings up. If you watch someone stumbling along and you can see a better way. If you have so much love to give and 10 million planets just aren't enough for all of it. If you've walked in the very presence of the Almighty and it's so enormous that you got to share it with a lot of beings. If you've never been a little babe on a planet before and you want to know how to trust in total helplessness, that's really what we want to do.
Do this program without referring to it.
Okay.
And that was our big national holiday that takes place the first week in February called Super Bowl Sunday. And there were these two teams playing, and they weren't my teams. My teams had been eliminated by both those teams, which made me not like both those teams. In fact, I would have liked both those teams to lose.
Well, your team's the Chattanooga Hawks.
But this is the interesting thing. What I was aware of was that you have in competition, and this is a duh, you have a winner and a loser. But you don't have, like, even though there's winners and losers in tennis, there's a second place person. Like,
well,
the person,
this is a second place.
Yeah, but they didn't get a prize.
Well,
they didn't stand up. But not only that, but, you know, if you did it on a point system, who played better?
So it should be like the Olympics. They should have the first gold and have all the players, 45 players and their coaches stand on there,
that
platform.
Right.
And then we have the other one,
the coaches and players.
But
the thing that's interesting is that
on the podium.
But they don't have a system where who played the best game, the end of the thing. It's like who got the best numbers at the end, who won in terms of the numbers. But who played the best game? I mean, we haven't come up with that
talk
one
about,
yet.
They talk about that on
They talk about it, but you don't get a prize for playing the best game.
Commentary people think.
You play a prize for having the better number.
There you have it.
Well, I thought about that, and I wanted to share it with you because you're here, and because you're here, and I can.
We honor and salute you, Super Bowl
victors and second place people. I mean, you know, there's two teams.
While you're all sitting out here, could I have all the second placers stand up? I came in second when I was like I was in the 10 and under golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And we tied for first place. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, I tied with my best friend, David Ellis.
Wow.
And we had to play it off. I guess it was just 9 holes or whatever. And we played it off, and he beat me. And I was, what's the word, when you're like...
Heartsick.
Yeah. 10-year-old version of heartsick.
And, did you cry?
Wait. My dad was coming, I guess, to comfort me or to connect with me. And I ran away from him. I remember running up this sidewalk away from him. And he caught me. And then when he caught me, I cried. And that was a very poignant moment. A lot of interesting things going on there. The father wanting to comfort the son. The son not able to receive the comfort, probably out of shame.
Yeah, he didn't win.
The shame of losing, as well as just the feeling of loss. Have you all been lost and found? We hope so, because this is Insight Out, the Naked Truth, and we're here giving our spiritual opinion.
Or perceptions, or epiphanies, or whatever. They're ours. We own that they're ours. And if they inspire you to find yours, please feel so inspired.
Another way for me of coming at this, what we tend to call spiritual and all the assorted beliefs and opinions about it, is to just ask the question, well, what is essential? What is true? And how would you know? And what is most essential? I wrote an essay where I kind of tackled that question. And I kicked it off, which I will do now, with a line that I've probably shared on this show before, because it's so extraordinary, because it, I think, reveals what is most essential. And it's by Teilhard de Chardin, the French scientist, philosopher, priest, and mystic. And he said, nothing is precious save what is ourself in others and others in ourself. Now, when he used the word nothing is precious, I kind of translate that to mean real, precious, something that not only do you want to hold, but it holds, and it keeps holding. It keeps holding presence, and we keep being held in presence, and it's the very holding itself that we are experiencing, which is the fundamental thing that's going on, like gravity. I mean, okay, let's just take...
Well, let's say precious, and we've got precious down. Now, what is yourself and others and...
Others and yourself.
How do you translate that into other language? No, I don't mean that other language. Another way of saying it.
Okay. English. It's like Martin Buber talks about everybody wants to be met. All living is meeting. Mm-hmm. So those two concepts really go together. When I come up, as we're doing now, and I just make myself totally available to you, and if you do the same to me, then... we're kind of splashing into each other, this osmosis kind of thing that's happening, and it's the connection.
That, to me, is the word. I mean, when you said that, the first thing that jumped into my head was this is about, that's a true connection. Because what's happening is that you recognize the other. That's what you mean by met. You recognize, you see, you feel, there's this total immersion in other, and you allow other in you. I mean, because a lot of people will go into another, but they won't allow other in themselves. So it's the giving and the taking and the receiving and it's respiration.
Indeed, it is respiration. So when I look for things that are real, like what's substantive, what is most essential, I have looked at certain phenomena of life that seem to be very consistent, like the law of gravity. I mean, it just keeps...
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
It is. Or light, and it's speed. Or the other thing that continues to present itself is the cycle of birth, life, and death. That's the other authoritative aspect of reality. But before we go any further in that, you know, Rochelle talked about speaking other languages, and sometimes it's good to just feel the spiritual impulse in words that we probably don't know what they mean.
Thank you.
If you've never seen the aspen leaves in September, or the apple blossoms in spring, or snow settling on a golden maple leaf as it floats its way to the earth, you gotta show up. If your heart aches when you see all the unnecessary pain people create for themselves and inflict on one another, and you know how to heal it,
show up.
You're going to show up.
It's a ch language.
It's Hebrew.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It was either Hebrew or Dutch. Because they
no,
all
it's huh. Hebrew, the ch, you know, it's chaz, chazer, you know, that thing back in the throat. You'd think all those people who have that ch sound would have sore throats.
They don't.
But they don't.
No, they don't. What was it?
It's called, it's a Jewish spiritual song, Jerusalem, If I Forget You. It's a song, I guess, I should get the translation. I'll try and get that, Jerusalem, If I Forget You. But sometimes it's good just to hear the soulful sharing.
Yeah, because it does transcend, that soulfulness does seem to transcend language. You know, and talking about language and translation, the thing that I'm learning at this point in my life is that I can listen to somebody else's spiritual perspective, opinion, or whatever, and I can translate it very quickly into my own language, and I keep discovering that we're all saying the same thing. That there's a something happens when you're on a spiritual path. You may have different adventures and you may look like different things, but something is happening that is the same. There's an expansiveness of consciousness. There's an expansiveness of our hearts. There's a greater desire to be more inclusive as human being. And you find that when people reach a certain point of on their journey, that starts happening, and you start seeing it in people. And it doesn't matter what words they use or what belief systems they have, because all that seems like the background to it all.
But it's fundamentally just the same, is what you're saying, isn't
it? Yes, it is. It's fundamentally the same.
One foot in front of the other. It's hard as hell these days. It's my choice, a case of any color. One makes me walk away. One thought after another. Round and round they go. Got to sit still, try to recover, breathe into what I know. Know there's one God above us, and that God made everything. It don't matter how you worship, how you see the clothes you wore, it's all the same. It's all the same. One truth, oh, over another. My pride, your misery, brought this land from the hand of a brother. In the name of liberty, well, my granddaddy fought. He fought in the big war while they went without at home. We sacrificed driving in a big cars, the chariots of modern Rome. Know there's one God above us. And that God made everything. And it don't matter how you worship, how you see the clothes you wore, it's all the same. It's all the same.
Don't tell me it's all the same.
Well, yeah, it is actually all the same. What can I tell you? I keep turning the wrong button. I sit here in front of this mixer, and I like to mix it up. And sometimes...
I think it has to do with your desire to always be original each moment. So if you do the same thing over and over again, you have to do it differently, even if it screws it up.
Yeah, you can get into a lot of trouble with that philosophy. Speaking of philosophy, it's some people would see it. Someone told me recently that poets are fickle, and being a poet and being like someone who has to make it up new all
every
the time,
time,
you can appear to be fickle. I'll just say another perspective on why the gorgeous omnipotent being would articulate itself so tiny that it actually fit into a human form.
And and each one of those forms is unique.
Right. And here's another reason. If you see the light of truth going fainter and darker on a dear and gorgeous planet, you gotta what?
Show up.
Yeah, yeah. So I adopt that perspective because I feel it, and it feels real.
I like spiritual perspective. I think I will change that. I think I will change spiritual opinions to spiritual perspectives.
One significant thing that...
I'll tell you why. I like the way it sounds together.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. But I was just reading in the Keys of Yeshua, or Love Without End, and Yeshua says... Spirit, there is no matter as opposed to spirit. There's no like matter and spirit, like one is in opposition to the other. And this is why he came, to tell us this particular thing as an example. Spirit is everything. It's everywhere. It's the medium in which a phenomenon is able to communicate. It's the medium, so to speak. It's like the canvas. It's everywhere. There's no not there, the canvas in the picture. And spirit is like that. And love is the manifestation of life that lives in a relationship to the spirit. Like if the spirit is like the male aspect, holds the space, continuous, pervasive, and the female is the love, popping up with new original phenomenon all over the universe.
It's a nice perspective.
Nice. I feel like she's going to give me a treat. She's just reached down. I saw myself as one of those little short dogs, you know, the kind.
That's a nice
the,
perspective.
With
I
the
mean,
fur.
I have a different perspective. I mean, not denying this perspective. I like it. It's this perspective. If I turn around and look at it from a different point of view, I would say that for me, the definition of spirit is a container for love. Yes. The whole planet can be the container for love, as you said. And yet, I keep thinking that it's pockets, that these little pockets that contain the love, as they grow and become, as we evolve and they grow into each other like mercury. You know, they start coming together until the whole thing becomes love.
Okay, so this
but
is how...
But at this point, these little pockets aren't enough and strong enough at this point to come together to make the whole, which the whole is, exists already. But we, as the image of the whole, have to come together to mirror that.
So this is the piece that I've gotten about it, which has to do with kind of the strategy of how do you actually make this shift into this awareness and life pursuit. That is to realize there's power in agreement. They talk about, in more religious terms, a covenant. But a city could have a covenant. It's a charter. It's a place where you come together to and you agree. And people, I think, we don't appreciate or understand the power of agreement because we look, for example, at the powers that be. But it's the agreement that is where the actual power is. Perfect example is money. Money is just a symbol of an agreement that we all made, that money represents value.
It's just, oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, or plastic or whatever.
Now, is that a pocket of spirituality?
Well,
it exists on this planet. We made it.
What I'm suggesting
is just
that,
because it exists?
No, that's not where I'm going. I'm suggesting that as we come together two by two by two and build that agreement, that's how the world will transform. A good example is Bucky Fuller's geodesic dome. If you've ever looked at that, and the architecture of that.
It's based on lots of triangles coming together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in order to have a triangle, you have to have at least two sides and an angle or two angles and a side.
Mm-hmm.
So there you've got your holy trinity, because you've got two trajectories and then you've got an angle where they intersect, and then that becomes this unique being.
Now, he's drawing these triangles with his hands. And, of course, you, except for you who are here in our house, but you who are listening can't possibly see that. But if you put your hands up and make a triangle, you can see what he's talking about. And I don't know how we got into triangles. How did we get into triangles?
Because it's 1 + 1 = 3. I actually wrote a song.
Yeah, but, I mean, how did you even get to the place where, like, we have to come together two by two when we were talking about the container is spiritual and everything in it is love?
Okay, let me back up.
How did you get there?
I shifted frames of reference.
Well, when you shift, you got to let me know.
I was so busy shifting, I forgot to put you in the boat. So I'm out in the boat.
And I'm on the shore.
And she's still on the shore going, I thought we were playing tennis. And I'm going, no, we're boating. Weren't we boating? What I was thinking of was, it's the reformer in me, the one who says, you know, well, we ought to be able to find a way to make it that kind of difference that's needed.
Yeah, and you get all those horrible people to become nice people.
No. It's building those pockets. Just what you said, that's what triggered it. But the pockets are composed of people who know how to create these little triangles, which is the basic triangle you started off our program tonight. Connection with self.
Other. And the mystery.
What you call the mystery. What I call the...
that takes too long. Break it down into one word, please, instead of an elongated syllable.
I like these two syllables. What the... That seems to work.
In working here at Lupin, which is so fascinating because it's a resort and it's a place where people are constantly visiting, then you have the people who are here all the time, and it's so alive. It's just alive with energy. Some of the energy, it can be a little heavy at times, some of it is light, but it doesn't matter. It's constantly there. And sometimes, you know, people have upsets, and sometimes they let you in to help them with their upsets, and sometimes they push you away, like you were talking about, you know, the little boy who couldn't be comforted because he was so ashamed. An associate of mine did something today, saw one of a person who seemed agitated or not comfortable, and she took the time to go over to that person and just give them a hug. Away from all people seeing it or anything or making a big deal out of it. She just felt that person needed some comforting, and she took the initiative.
The someone who did this and you observed it?
Yeah, to do this. And I just felt like, you know, that to me is like those little acts, where they call them little acts of kindness, you know, those little acts that just go, I care. I care.
You know, you can
I care.
You can get put away for those little acts of kindness.
Errol.
let me explain myself. Actually, can I get some help from my friend Dogman? How would you describe it, Dogman?
Who am I with tonight? He's crazy.
No, so what he's saying, and say it again. Okay, so what he's saying is that being put away means that you're just like way away, like far out. You're put everywhere because these acts of kindness place you everywhere. So you're put away over there and you're put away over there. And you're just put away everywhere because the acts of kindness? No, huh?
I don't know where you're going. I have no idea. Well, I'm sitting opposite him. I'm looking at his face. He looks pretty sane. But the words coming out of his mouth are really crazy tonight.
Hey, you know, what can I tell you? You got to be kind to a man when he's down. Come on, give me a break. Be kind to a man when he's down.
While he's down. And who is this?
Well, Foghorn String Band, you know.
Foghorn
String Band.
I love them.
They sang that Hebrew song just a little while ago.
Oh,
you
God,
couldn't tell.
No.
It's their album.
No. But you want to hear something that I had an interesting experience today. I just thought of it again. I was cut off by a car, reckless. He was very reckless. And, of course, no one was hurt and everything else. But that was an incident, you know. And then there were all these other incidents, like people opening the door. A young man, you know, like older men open the door. You think, well, you know, they're part of the culture that open door for women or something like that. But this guy was like 20.
What did he do?
He opened the door for me, held the door open.
What door?
The door to wherever I was going. There was a door.
In
a bank. I was going into a bank. He opened the door.
He opened the door for you.
Yes, he opened the door for me. And it happened several times today. And there was this one guy who cut me off with the car. And then there were all these other people who were just ever so kind. And I thought, there were much more kindness than that one guy who cut me off. But that was a much more scary event. And it impacted my cerebral cortex or whatever.
Yeah, that cortex. You know.
In a way that these lovely acts of kindness didn't until just now. Just now, I switched the scales.
Wow.
And I felt that those acts of kindness were much more, they would have a longer effect upon me than the guy who cut me off.
And this is why I just got it. And that is because it forms a connection. And an agreement, an actual joining. You and that person were joined. You weren't pushing off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
In one instance, there's pushing off. In the other, there's joining and actually moving into your space, not just connecting on the outside, but he actually moved into your space because he anticipated a need that you might have that he could help. He entered into your space and, mm-hmm. and being sensitive to it, he offered grace, a gracious act. There was grace showing up. And that's the moment of reality popping up into our awareness.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that back because everything you said before that seemed so weird. But this
really?
Makes sense.
Really? Weird, you know? It's funny you say that, but I think the truth is you just have to learn to live with what you are. You just can't escape it.
I know that you're in there. I can see you. You're saying you're okay. I don't. Could ever need is down below, waiting for you.
Well, that says it like it is, doesn't it?
Who is that?
Learn to live with what you are. Ben Folds.
F-O-L-D-S?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ben Folds.
Like, I love this lyric. He says, sometimes everything you've ever wanted floats above, sticking out its tongue and laughing, while everything anyone can ever need is down below waiting for you to know this. There's never going to be a moment of truth for you while the world is watching. All you need is a thing you've forgotten, and that's to learn to live with what you are.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. I always am aware that one of the reasons people don't is because if they don't like who they are, they push off. They're in resistance to it. And the moment we don't resist who we are, when we are absolutely have total acceptance of who we are, we change.
There is that.
I mean, we do, because we're growing, and we can't grow in a state of resistance because we're pushing against the thing. But when we let go, we grow. And so, and what I have noticed is that because my intention is to grow and become more inclusive and become more loving, when I let go, that's when it happens.
I think about molecules when you say that. Like, there's these little atoms.
You do. You think of molecules when I say that.
I do.
Oh,
I think
so
of,
happy.
Yeah, it made me think of molecules and how they have, like, these, the part that's like, if you think of, like, fingers reaching out, and there's, but at all different ways in which they connect, they link, linkages. They call it linking in genetics, when you link up with this other. We talked about this last week, the chromosome. I think we still got that chromosome. That I forgot who was here. They let us borrow one of their chromosomes.
Yes, they did. They left it behind, which was very nice of them, by the way.
Speaking of, by the way, I feel remiss. We should identify ourselves. We are, don't tell me.
Inside Out, the Naked Truth. He's Errol Strider. I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. Okay, what were you going to say, Errol?
And we're broadcasting from Lupin Lodge. Well, I wanted to just take a minute.
Clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
Right, yeah. And remember, as Rochelle likes to say, she says this to lots of people, nudity isn't just skin deep. Because we were talking about cortexes, and I saw a guy's cortex the other day.
Oh, I was. Oh, I always talk about cortexes.
I saw him. It was like he wasn't wearing the cortex cover thing. It's just right out there for all to see, the cortex. Anyway.
You're so silly. That's
well,
I like
it's to balance this out, because these kind of thoughts and perspectives take me over, like, going back to the question of why did he show up, and he says, and I go, if you want to know what it's like to be a mortal facing a day of dilemma and a night full of what?
Fears?
Full of mystery.
Oh, mystery, okay.
Yeah, full of mystery. Well, you show up. I mean, if you want to lead people to their true liberated selfhood, all right, so I believe that the infinite, all-loving source was able to bring all of the essential qualities of that infinity of love and personify it. And we can do the same. We have just as much capacity as any other.
We do being. Have capacity, and we are evolving to the point where we can make that capacity come alive in the moment that we're in. Right now, it's like a, what do you say, potential. It's a potential. But there will come a time when it will be an actual.
It is. As a matter of fact, converting potentials into actuals seems to be the fundamental work of existence. Because there is all this infinite potential, and then we are given the wherewithal to kind of grab a chunk of it and give it shape and form and substance and all kinds of beliefs. And
everything is like that.
Systems.
From the moment we're born with that with potential. We're born with the potential to crawl. We're born with the potential. I mean, this is just on a physical level. We're born with the potential to stand and walk and run. we're born with these potentials. I mean, some people are malformed and don't have those potentials, but most of us, for the most part, have those potentials to reach a certain level of existence on the planet. And then we reach that, and then we reach other things, you know, and it's not like a downward journey. Having, you know, reached our potential, we can jump and yell and do all that stuff, and now we can't do it. I think it's moving into another potential, the potential where we slow down enough to realize what is real.
My life goes on in endless song. Above its lamentation, I hear the ring of far off hymn that hails a new creation. Above the tumult and the strife, I hear.
Gene Redpath for reminding us, in prison cell and dungeon vile, our thoughts to them are winging, when friends by shame are undefiled, how can I keep from singing?
That's a celebration of life, if I ever heard one.
Indeed it is, and this has been another evening at home with the Striders. We'd love to invite you over. In lieu of that, we do live here at Lupin Lodge, which you can come. We actually have places to stay, tents and yurts, and I can show you my tent, and you can get a hold of us. Please call, or I should say email me, estrider@gmail.com. Estrider, like the name, Estrider. And we'll be back next week. So, you know, we're just delighted to be able to share this time with you. What about you, Rochelle? Any last thoughts about
Yes, I want to remind people all the time.
Wait a minute.
What do you mean, wait a minute? You just asked me if I would share something.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go.
I just want to remind people all the time the same thing I remind them every week at this time. Remember, resistance is what you add to fear to make it last longer and hurt more.
Yes, resistance is what you add to pain.
and feared.
To make it last longer and hurt more. Good night. Thanks for being with us.